may remain seated. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from his Son, Jesus Christ, and from the Spirit, whom he sends to us today in his word. Amen. You're strolling down the streets of Chicago, and there on the corner sits a man. You walk by and you see him sitting with his head hung low. He's dressed in rags. He's holding a cardboard sign written in magic marker. And next to him is an open trumpet case with scattered change. What are you thinking? Who are you picturing? None of us likes to be stereotyped, but so many of us do it. And already we've probably made up a story about this man, whether he's a drug addict, an alcoholic, or just lazy. We don't really know who he is, but we've kind of made up a story that allows us to just pass by and go on with our life. We live in a cut-and-paste society where so easily we cut somebody out of their own story and just paste them into whatever story we would like it to be so we can go on our way. Do we ever do this with God? Do we ever take God out of his story, cut him out and paste him in where we think he fits best? To make him the sort of God we would like in the sort of situation we are in. When Isaiah is confronted with this vision of God, the angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory." What that means is God's glory is all his own. And what that means is God's story is all his own. Not left to us to make up what we would like or to try to fit him into just one or two proof passages. That's only part of it. The fullness of God's glory is known by us understanding the fullness of God's story from beginning to end. And that's what the Apostles' Creed is all about. The Apostles' Creed is more than just a teaching about how God is three persons in one. It's the story of how God is being three persons in one. And so today I'd like to give you a witnessing tool so that you can see how the Apostles' Creed offers you a way to testify to who God is according to his story, beginning with creation and God the Father, rescued in redemption with God the Son, and finally bringing us into a new creation restored in God the Holy Spirit. It begins with creation. We live in a cut-and-paste society where it's easy to take things out of context for a politician to grab one statement by someone else and just put it into whatever scenario fits their agenda. So easily people think they can do the same with God, take God out of his story and just put him into the place where he fits best. And the result is that we stereotype God. Some Christians try to do this by cutting and pasting God into evolution. They take the story of Genesis, scratch out a few verses, rewrite a few others, and pretty soon we have a God who works through evolution to bring this world into being. And if we can do it through science, if we can do it with evolution, why can't we do it in any other number of ways? What kind of God would you like? Maybe we can just give you what you'd like. A God who wants to make you rich. A God who wants to make you happy. A God who wants to make you healthy. A God who wants to be your buddy. A God who wants to be in the popular opinion. A God who wants to make you feel good about yourself. A God who wants to help you, but doesn't necessarily have the power to always do it. As we look around, we see these different ideas about God. But what's the bigger picture? What's the bigger story? As we look around outside, we know there's a bigger story. As we walk down the streets of Chicago, the skyscrapers reaching up, the wind blowing through the streets, we look down and we see there's a bigger story. We see there in the cracks of the sidewalk are a bigger story because it's springing up from the cracks of the sidewalk. Something little and green that we sometimes call a weed is telling a bigger story. Because we didn't put it there. Springing up through the cracks of the sidewalk, it's God's ink spilling into our world. Light that we didn't put there. Just a little plant or a full-grown tree. We're seeing it all around us. That God is the author of something bigger. Every story has an author, and in this world, God's paint has spilled over all over the place. We breathe it when we step outside into what I thought I was going to talk about being warm May weather. Or we feel it in the cold breezes today. We notice it in the trees that were once so bare are now bringing us umbrellas of shade. We smell it in the lilacs that come into bloom. We hear it in the birds chirping and the bees buzzing, and we taste it. We taste it, don't we? In the strawberries that are just coming in, or the daily bread, the food that's on our table that God gives to us every day. We believe it. We believe it because it's spilling over into this story that God sustains us. Food, water, medicine, we didn't put it here. And this is our chance to find our trumpets, to sing a song. A song of praise that God has created me and all creatures, and He still preserves me, and He still preserves that homeless man. Not because we deserve it, but because He's our good and gracious Father. Holy, 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 the whole earth is full of God's story. So we'll have opportunity to confess this first article idea now. It's printed for you in your service folder. Let us rise and confess the first article as you have printed in your service folder, and then we'll sing the hymn stanza, which is also printed for you. It is a tragic story, isn't it? How could it have come to this? How could this man have fallen so low? We stroll by and see him there. He's wearing nothing but strips of cloth, and his head is hung low. And above him hangs a sign carved in wood, I-N-R-I. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There he hangs alone on a cross. And who is he? Can we just pass by? Who is this man and what is his story? Who will write the obituary? Someday we'll all have an obituary. And that's because no matter the story, it all ends the same way. Whether you are the man sitting on the street corner with an empty trumpet case, alone, dying, or you're a famous musician strolling by with a pocket full of wads of cash on your way to the United Center for a great performance. It all ends the same. In an obituary. No matter what name you've made for yourself, or how rich you are, or how many achievements you've made, or how good you've been, it all ends the same. Sin has stereotyped us with this story. Sin has cut us out of the story God intended to give to us and pasted us into this other story we know as our life. Our life filled with sin, ending in death. It's a fallen story, and no matter how we cover it up or how we try to paste some good stuff over it, it's still there. And on Judgment Day, God's not going to be interested in an obituary that you've written about the praises of what you've done in your life. Because his obituary will tell the whole story. Every detail, down to the last bad thing that you've ever thought or done. The end of this story is an eternal death in hell. It's tragic. But God's not interested in just allowing that story to go on. He's interested in rewriting it. And so he's entered into our story, entered into our world. We need to read the obituary. We can't just pass by. We need to read this story the way God intended it to be read. And so we open up our Bibles and we read about who Jesus really is. That he's truly the Son of God. And the reason he hangs on that cross is because God put him there. For you. So that the story could be rewritten. So that the world could be rescued. So that I-N-R-I is understood properly as your redemption. A story of rescue. The one who gives his own precious blood to redeem you from all of those sins, not just pasting over it, but repainting it. This story doesn't end in an obituary. It lives on. In Jesus' resurrection, God has brought you out of your own story and into his. A story of life. And this is what we confess. Holy, 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 the whole earth is full of God's story. We confess it in the words of the second article. You have it printed for you in your service folders. Let us rise and confess our faith. We know now that because Jesus has risen, there's more to the story. God, the author of life, has more to the story for you. Not just another chapter, but a whole new story. A whole new story he scripted in Jesus Christ for you that comes to you in your baptism. The place where God's story and your story intersect is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work is to take you in this world and God and all the work of Christ and bring it together. We call it sanctification, where God writes down the message of the gospel and brings you into it, to believe it, to make it yours. Imagine two circles of living. One is yours, filled with sin and death, corruption. And the other is God's, filled with life and forgiveness and salvation and eternity. And in the Holy Spirit, he brings these together. Where now you are a new creation, Paul says. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And it's by this work of faith that the Holy Spirit gives to you to believe in what Jesus has done for you. What this means is that your story in this world matters. How you live your life testifies to this work of the Spirit, the sanctification that he's brought you. How you treat others in your life and in your families, how you treat yourself, how you treat this creation, how you treat that man in the corner is all part of this story. This testimony, a confession of the Apostles' Creed that it began in creation and now has been redeemed and restored to be a new creation in you. And sure, it doesn't look like it on the outside, but inwardly, God is renewing us day by day in repentance and forgiveness, causing these fruits of faith to come forth. It means you're part of a bigger story. And so is that man on the corner. You find him there on the street corner, sitting in his rags with his head hung low. Next to him is that empty trumpet case with change strewn about in it. You probably will regret it, but you decide to say something. You ask him, "Where's your trumpet?" In other words, who are you? Where did you come from? How did this happen? Where are you going? Now we know where it goes from there. God only knows. But what you're doing is you're being God's pen. You're writing those colors of a new creation in this world, remembering that that man also is part of God's creation, also redeemed on the cross, and also promised to be brought that same gift of restoration through the Holy Spirit. What we pray is that somewhere in the conversation, you have a chance to share that witness of the Apostles' Creed. From creation to redemption to new creation, that you get a chance to tell him about the God who has given him eyes and ears and all his members and still preserves him. And still is giving him an opportunity, a way out to support his body and life. To tell him of this God who died for him, the Son who was sent, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And to tell him of the Holy Spirit and a new creation, the promise of something to come at the resurrection where God is going to make his rags into riches. We promise, or we pray that maybe you'll have that chance. And maybe, just maybe, you'll find his trumpet. Whether it's playing somewhere in a church, in some choir, or even better yet, to be heard in the halls of heaven. Holy, 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 the whole earth is full of God's story. Amen. We now have opportunity to confess our faith in the Holy Spirit. We use the words of the third article. You have it printed in your service folder. Let us rise.